Well, good morning. Welcome everyone to our service this morning. The good news is I don't typically preach for an hour, so just relax. I'll try to condense a little bit as well. Well, this morning my message is not specifically for the youth. However, I do have some youth type examples, and I still consider myself a youth. So I'd like to invite, glad to see most of them are up here. I'd like to invite any other youth to just come on up here, fill the front, and I'd like to drop that age to, if you're a teenager, so 13 and up. I know you're not in the youth group, but some of the intermediates, go ahead and fill the front here. They might have to overlap in the row with Wes and Kaveri a little bit. So go ahead, come on up, pack it out. I know you guys can pack a lot of youth in a Honda Civic, so you've got plenty of space here. I prefer you all on the same side, if you don't mind. So I think Lyndon's going to make a little space. Thank you. Appreciate that. So this morning, I want to talk about the word stewardship. And stewardship, you may sigh a little bit and like, boy, you know, haven't we kind of worn that word out already? So what is stewardship? When I say stewardship, what do you often, the first thing you think of that we're going to talk about? What are we stewarding? Somebody, call it out.
Money.
Money. Right. So that is typically what we think about. It's typically what gets talked about. And stewardship certainly has to do with money. But stewardship is much, much broader than just money. And so this morning we're going to talk about just a little deeper dive on the topic of stewardship. Defined, it is to manage or look after, often something that's not ours. The word is used in different biblical accounts. Strong defines it as a manager of an estate, or an overseer. How many of you youth know what a steward or stewardess is in the airline industry? Okay, so it's almost a dying term. It's now a flight attendant. But you go back 30 years ago, I don't know where they made that switch. But they used to talk about, you know, you had steward and stewardesses on an airplane. And their job was to care for you from when you stepped on that airplane and when you stepped off. They had a specific time that they had to oversee and care that you made sure your trip went well. They didn't actually own you, but their job was to oversee and manage that everything went well on that trip. Today, we don't use it very much as a title, but we do use it. We talk about being a good steward. But in the Bible time, it was actually a title that somebody had, an overseer of someone's estate. Occasionally, I will sell a generator at a residence, typically a larger residence, where I never, through the entire transaction, I never meet the actual homeowner. Instead, I work with a property manager or an estate manager, and I meet them there. We'll be walking around the house, and they'll say, oh, they definitely don't want the generator there. And this petunia over here, this we cannot move. And then they have the keys to the house. We walk inside. We walk right through their basement. And in the end, I quote it to them. They'll often sign the quote. And in some cases, I never meet the homeowner. They are a steward of their property. They are entrusted. And the only way that they can tell me, don't put the generator there. Yes, this will work. No, that's out of their budget, is if they know closely the heart of that owner, right? They have to know what the owner really wants, what they desire, what's important to them. So Jesus talked about stewards and used it in a few illustrations to illustrate the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to look at the parable of the talents this morning. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25, verse 14. And I don't think I am going to read the passage here just due to time. Instead, I'm just going to, we know the passage well. It's covered from Matthew 25, 14 to 30. And you can kind of, I'm going to hit just a couple points throughout the verses there. And you can kind of follow along there. So a talent was represented money or a measurement of money, a weight of money. And it was actually a fairly large sum of money in the Bible times. A little bit of research I did, it said that one talent may have even represented several years of a man's income. So in this story here, a talent is not your gift of being good at something. We use that term talent. This was Jesus was using a financial measurement, a weight of finances here as he starts the story. So in verse 14, he talks about that the owner that gives out these talents to these servants is leaving. He's going to be out of the picture for a while. It says he goes and travels to a far country. Verse 15, we see that he gives different portions. He gives one talent, he gives two talents, and he gives five talents. So the amount that's distributed is different. 16 to 18, we then see that what they do with those talents. And the returns are all different. Okay? They all have these talents. Some the guy with five makes five more. One with two makes two more. And the one with one does nothing but hides it in fear. So he doesn't, no return on his talent there. Verse 19, we see that there is a day of reckoning. The owner comes back and he wants an account of what happened with his talents. 20 and 23, we see that he praises the ones that were faithful with their talents. And he praised these men for being good stewards. Even though their returns were not the same. If you think about that, you know, one made an additional five, the other one made additional two. Equally, they got the same amount of praise for what they did there. And then you have the one with one. And it says there that in verse 24 and 25 that he was fearful. He made excuses. Why he couldn't do it, why he hid it, didn't make any return on that one talent. And he was paralyzed with fear. That comes out there in those verses. Verse 26, we see the response of the Lord. And he was angry. He called him a wicked and slothful servant. And he was rebuked in 27 for not making any kind of return on what he was given, what he was entrusted. And again, I think it's a fairly familiar passage. You can read it to get kind of the detail there sometime. But so as we study this, right, you have the Lord giving this different amounts of money. Some, they went and they were able to double it, and this other one was fearful. Is this lesson strictly a financial lesson on getting good return on your investment? Is that the lesson in and of itself? No, it's not. So it's a parable. And as you know, parables, Jesus would take an earthly thing. He'd take a story, something that people could relate to, and then he would have a kingdom lesson, some type of lesson that you could correlate that tied with the kingdom. And so there's a deeper spiritual meaning here, and this parable illustrates faithful service in the kingdom with what we're entrusted. And so we're going to look at that a little here this morning. Two stories before we dive into that. One happened when I was 20 years old. A group of us young people went on a Christian Aid rebuilding project to Louisiana. And there was a maxi van load of us. We meet Sunday afternoon, and it's young people. We're loading our suitcases in the back and parents. And I see there's this one older man there that all his children are grown. And, you know, yeah, I'm not sure why he's here. But I was the one that was entrusted to get us to the first destination. And so this man comes up to me, and he says, Brad, he said, really appreciate you young people taking off work a week to go down to Louisiana. I said, I can't do that. I said, but I'd like to help, and here's the way I'd like to help. And he pulls out an envelope, and inside was one of his credit cards. And there was a paper in there that said that had his name on, and that he certifies that Brad Martin may use this credit card as he sees fit, and he signs it. And he said, look, you use that credit card for any gas, if you are getting a hotel, when you stop for food, you run everything like that on this credit card. So that's the way I want to help and bless you guys on this trip. Well, I don't think we got barely over the crest of the hill from Swatara Mennonite Church. And I'm like, hey, guys, guess what? Why, he was here in the parking lot. And everyone's like, no way. You know, we were all expected, you know, this expense was going to come out of our pocket. Well, that entire trip, as we used that credit card, that was a big conversation piece. We talked about that credit card. And we talked about, you know, he's going to get a statement. He's going to see. There's going to be a day when he's going to open up an envelope to see where we spend it. Whether he did or not, we didn't know. But we knew he had that ability. We also knew this wasn't our money. He didn't have to do it. It was out of his goodwill. And we were extremely conscientious, almost to a fault, of how we used that credit card. Like, on the way home, we stopped at a Chili's, and we're like, man, we could have done Wendy's. One of the other guys like, I'm paying. He's like, I'm treating everybody. We didn't use the credit card because we were stewarding this credit card. It wasn't ours. And we were very conscientious about, we were entrusted with this. He never put any stipulations. He never said the average meal needs to be under $10.99. He said, use it. We could have used it. But we were stewarding something that wasn't ours. The role of a deacon, one of the roles is to oversee the finances here at Joy. And sometimes as deacons, we'll talk about, you know, here's this money and how do we use it here and there. And obviously, we don't solely decide that. The brotherhood, you know, obviously speaks into that as well. But I remember a time when somebody from outside our congregation gave a donation, and they just gave us enough of information where they knew where the heart wanted to go towards. But there was no specific details on exactly how it got spent. We knew, though, that it was not for this fund or that fund. It was had a general purpose. He never asked for any account, you know, or an update of how the money got spent then. You know, we could have looked at that and, you know, Wayne and I could have discussed, hey, you know, we all want a little better PA system. Let's use that money for this. Certainly that would be acceptable. Obviously, we didn't. The heart of the person that gave it was to entrust us, not our money. We were stewarding that money to be used for a particular purpose. And so we honored that, and the money eventually went for the general category that they wanted it to get spent. So this morning, we're not going to necessarily talk about how we handle money when someone gives us something like that. I'm using that as an illustration of what it looks like to the mindset of stewarding something that's not ours. So what does it look like to be a faithful steward in Christ's kingdom? First, we have to set the foundation of the mindset of a steward. And that is that a steward, in definition, is managing something that's not theirs. So if we believe something is ours, we aren't a steward, right? You're no longer a steward because that's not the definition of stewardship. So we have to understand that God is the owner of all. And I know that's cliche, and we grew up singing, you know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But somewhere along the line, as you all in the front here get older, get more stuff and more money and more income, and as you grow and God entrusts you with more, that concept does not get easier. It will get more and more tested. And as your time becomes more precious, that concept's going to get more, you know, tested. Is God the owner of all? And there's multiple verses throughout the Bible that remind us that. Just a couple here. Exodus 19, God's talking to Moses, all the earth is mine. David has multiple verses. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. Moses telling the children of Israel, behold, the heaven and the heaven of the heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also with all that's therein. Then in 1 Corinthians, there's the verses about, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And your body is even not your own. It's God's. Your body belongs to God's. You were bought with a price. And then there's many biblical examples of, you know, stewards. You think of Joseph, a man that got stewardship, understood what was God's, what was Pharaoh's. Can you imagine if he was an entitled man, how that story would have ended with everything he was entrusted? So I want to look at four practical areas of stewardship that we are called to steward, and there's probably more. I just pulled out four. And the first one I want to look at is the one that, when I said, what do we think about? We think about money. So we're going to start with that one. We're going to talk about tangible resources and money. Again, we all know that we live in a land of abundance. Whether you feel like you have abundance or not, that's really besides the point. We live in a land of abundance. We have opportunity to collect a lot of things and wealth. And we have a good work ethic. And when you combine them to opportunity and that work ethic, that just only increases that. And it's very tempting for us to look at somebody that has a lot or not enough and say, well, they're a good steward, or they are because they this and that. But, you know, in the parable of the talents, we got to remember that there were different amounts that were given. And so the amounts are not necessarily what's in focus here. It's that faithful, how we faithfully handle what we were given. And returns will vary, right? The parable brings that out. So in 1 Timothy 6, and why don't you just quickly turn there, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. I am going to take the time just to read a couple verses here. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 10. For godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So in the first verse there, verse 6, is the concept of contentment. A steward shows contentment and thankfulness. A steward gets the concept that they brought nothing in and they're not going to take anything out. The opposite of contentment is obviously the desire to want to just gain more and more and more. And many times, you know, in our society pushes that, right? And you know, ads, whatever. Nothing preaches contentment in our society. And many times that pushes people to excessive debt. And then they want to, and really pushes them to live above their means. And it's often a snowball effect. And young people, if you live with excessive debt and live in a lifestyle above your means, it makes it very difficult to serve in the kingdom. We all know the verse about the borrower is a slave to the lender. And that's a very true verse. And if that is who you're serving, you have limited time to serve in other capacities. Lack of contentment can also put an unhealthy desire for wealth. And a steward also understands the snare of wealth. Verse 10 there says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. All right, and again, the love of money. The very thing that God has given us to manage and to handle well, when used inappropriately, can actually steal our joy. It says here in Timothy, it's the root of evil. You know, there's roots of evil out there that we run pretty far from. We need to be aware of that, that the desire and the world around us really raises up that love of money. And there's many of older people you could sit down with that are in their 60s and 70s, and they have gained a lot in this area of material things. But if they would say, they would give you some advice. They say, if I could go back to your stage right here as a teenager, I would do things different. Because today, some of them, and again, this is not everybody, but in some cases, They substituted that for relationships with their children, relationship with their wife. And it says here that they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And you see that many, many times when an unhealthy love, a passion just to accumulate more is the focus. A steward understands that his material things are God's and that are here to bless the kingdom. So what does that look like? And I've told this story before. Hopefully I haven't worn it out. But I remember a man in our congregation growing up who we loved to go to his place. And sometimes we went to his place when he even wasn't there. And he always told us, the place is unlocked. You know where the freezer is. You know where the French fry fryer is. And you know, he had a fair amount of material things. But he had this very refreshing, open-handed concept that he just invited us in to enjoy. And, you know, many times for myself, you know, I have a fraction of what he had, but I'm like that two-year-old with both hands just hanging on tight. I mean, I lock up pretty tight. No, I live in the city of Lebanon. That's my excuse. No, but, you know, it's a mindset. It's not about whether you lock or not. It's a mindset. He had a mindset of, it's here. It's here to bless people. And that meant a lot to me as a young guy. A steward will also give wisely what he has when we're talking about material things. And for young people, get a plan at a young age. You know, start now. You have to be intentional or it won't happen. If you wait till after, you know, you've filled the car with gas and you got a new shotgun and whatever, you know, and then whatever's left over is what you're going to give. You'll give very little. It's just historically that's how it works. When you get your paycheck, if it's electronically, set up an electronic bank account, checking account, where you move money in that day that you get paid, and that money is for giving. If you're old school yet and you take a paycheck to the bank, pull cash out or move money into that account. Be intentional, okay? You have to, and again, it's not just about the amount. There's the heart that goes along with giving, but your age here is a great time to start that habit early of giving. You hold back now and say, you know what, once I'm some of those old guys' age, that's when I want to give. It probably won't happen. It's a mindset that needs to start when you're first, you know, when you first start bringing in money. So again, on the material, before we leave that, different amounts are entrusted to different people, right? Some will be entrusted with a lot, some with a little. That's not necessarily the focus. The focus is faithfully using it in Christ's kingdom. Returns will vary, right? We saw that in the parable there. So we're going to move away from that, and we're going to go to the second one, time and energy. Luke 12:31 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." We all have the same amount of time. We all, in a year's time, will have 8,760 hours. And we get to choose how we're going to divvy that up. You know, we do financial budgets. Sometimes sit down and do a time budget. How you want to divvy up your time. And obviously, you know, there's things like your job and sleep that are going to take up a big part. But then you have these hours in the day that you get to decide how you're going to use that. How much of that can fall into the category on that time budget of seeking first the kingdom of God? How much time? And this is Mission Sunday, and we often think about, you know, ministry and outreach. That takes time and energy. That needs to be part of what, you know, how we spend our time. Now, this one's different than the others. We're all given the same amount on this one. Some aren't given double. We're all on the same playing field with time. Energy, that's a little different. You can look around the room and you see varying levels of energy. But use your energy for the kingdom. And it, you know, it's okay to use your energy for fun as well. It's not that having fun is a bad thing. Get in there and enjoy, you know, when you're at the volleyball game. It's not more spiritual to sit there with a draggy look on your face. But be excited about the kingdom as well. Have energy. Come to those things with energy and time that you can invest in the kingdom. The third area is our giftings and talents. This can be spiritual gifts. This can be abilities, those kind of gifts. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord." Not whatever you do for your boss, or not whatever you do at church on Sunday morning. It says whatever you do, do it heartily. It's something scary about when somebody walks up to you and says, "You know, I see a gift in you. I think you could be a school teacher. And I think you're about ready to have an opening. I bet you could lead singing. You know, maybe you could start a small group. You know, have a little guys group accountability thing." You know, when we hear those things, it gets us out of our comfort zone, right? If it didn't get out of our comfort zone, we probably would have been doing it. But you know, God has given some more gifts, some less. And again, we all have the choice to bury those, use them selfishly. You know, there's some gifts that you can use 100% for just carnal reasons. You can use certain gifts for that. Or you can actually use them and invest in the kingdom. And you can use those gifts in many, many different ways. And many of you are already, and that's great. And I bless many of our youth. It took some gifts and talents to do what some of you did there in Harrisburg, right? Interact with somebody. It gets you out of your comfort zone. Again, some are given one, some two, and some five. The one with one, he left fear grip. He left fear determine the outcome. And fear, he just hunkered down. You know what? He would have got praised if he would have taken that limited amount that he had and put a return on that. He would have been praised, right? So don't compare yourself to the guy that can do everything. That's often what we want to do. Well, the last area I have is stewarding events and situations in our life that God puts in our path. It could be opportunities. You know, God puts opportunities in our life. And we get to choose if we're going to steward that well or not. And, you know, if we are consumed with our little world and our agenda and our economy, an opportunity could actually look like a bother to us at the time, right? If we're totally distracted by everything around us, an opportunity can look like a hindrance. But, you know, God gives us opportunities to interact. We heard, you know, guys are interacting with their neighbors. And we can choose to steward those opportunities well or discard them. It could be an event of a time of wilderness or pain in our life. We get to choose if we're going to steward pain well. And for the young people, some of you have had painful situations in your life. Some maybe not as much. But, you know, God will at some point typically bring something painful into your life. And we get to choose how we're going to react to that. We can get bitter. We can let that be our identity. You know, or we can steward it well. And that can be difficult. And it can be something seemingly maybe small to others that maybe a lot of people don't know. It could be being left go from a job and you feel like failure. Or it could be major. It could be losing a family member to an untimely death, and it's tragic. Do we realize that God has put these things in our life, and we have the opportunity to steward it? My uncle Lamar, at a young age, people at school started noticing that he was stumbling more than the other children. After a while, he would opt out to play games, and he would stand on the sidelines and watch. Soon he couldn't do stairs. And eventually, as a boy, he could not walk any longer and was in a wheelchair for the rest of his living days. And he was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. He died when I was 4, and his muscles had slowly degenerated to the point that he could no longer fight off pneumonia, and he died of pneumonia due to his condition. So I never knew him. I have very faint memories of getting wheelchair rides, but people tell me, and I know Earl isn't here, but he was one of his buddies, and different people I'll meet now that I'm an adult will say, "Oh yeah, your Uncle Lamar, he was a friend of mine." And they say, you know, he was known for his smile. He would get together. He was big into music. He played the guitar. He would have singings over at his place, and he was an upbeat guy. And I had to think, you know, I have so much going for me compared to that. You know, at a young, very young age, he watched his friends go on out, get their driver's license ahead of him, and he was never married, and I'm sure his condition played into some of that as well. But, you know, he chose to take a positive outlook on that, and I'm sure it wasn't always easy. Sure, he dealt with fleshly things, but he chose to face that with a smile. Well, in light of Mission Sunday here, you know, at the foundation and core of serving the kingdom is this concept of stewarding. We steward our time. We steward what God has given us. We steward the opportunity to spread the gospel. You know, ultimately, that is what we're here for. And in another parable, Jesus used the term occupying until he comes. We will all give an account someday for these things, what God has given us, our time, our gifts, our resources. That time of account, like in the parable here, will be for every one of us. And I just want to encourage, again, young people, I bless you for what you are doing. You're a vibrant part of our church. Keep it up. That's awesome. You have an energy now that you'll never have. The energy doesn't continue. And use that energy for the kingdom. And I bless you guys for how well you model that and keep that up. And for the rest of us in the different stages, it's never too late. Every stage of life we're in, we're called to model and to steward that time of life that we're in. God bless you.